Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, today we continue our fall series on the prophets of the Old Testament, and today we will focus on the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I have to be honest. Sometimes when I sit down to start writing a sermon, which, by the way, is never an easy process for me, there's this cynical voice in my head, and perhaps it's the voice of reason, I don't know, but it reminds me that I have absolutely nothing new or wise or intelligent to offer. What is there to say about love or hope or faith that hasn't already been said? How do I create a new, clever spin on God so that maybe this time you will leap to your feet with excitement? And then, just as there are those moments, there are other times that I am absolutely convinced that the messages of love and hope and faith that we proclaim as the church are the most important words there are, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, that God so loved the world, that there is no longer Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female or this or that, but all of us are one in Christ Jesus. Or surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And at such moments, I begin to see in myself the words of the Apostle Paul, that though I may see things dimly from my own limited experience or perspective, that though I know truth only in part, that someday, experiences like that inspire and sustain me, and I can feel that faith, hope, and love really do abide. And speaking about such things can really change us and change the world. Sometimes these fleeting moments of certainty happen when I least expect it, in places and circumstances many of you would think odd. But they have a way of carrying me through difficult times until the next time I feel empowered by the Holy Spirit. About 12 years ago, while visiting my college-age daughter in Boston, I heard a woman named Avery Brooke speak at Park Street Church. She had written a book entitled Finding God in the World. As a young adult, Avery considered herself an atheist and at times lashed out at anyone foolish enough to take God seriously. Yet, as a girl, she had also sensed something more, a presence, a power, for which she had no explanation. When Avery was a 31-year-old married mother of three, living in Darien, Connecticut, she writes this: "One day I fell to thinking about being an atheist. I remember that I was shaking a mop out the back door when I suddenly realized that atheist was not exactly the right word to describe my beliefs. An atheist, I said to myself, is sure that God doesn't exist. But I'm not sure, so I must be an agnostic. I gave the mop a final shake and stood in the kitchen thinking. I didn't like the idea of being an agnostic. To say I don't know about something as basic as whether God exists or not was unsettling. How could one base one's life on an uncertainty? So Avery Brooke made a decision to keep looking. And one day, sitting alone in a chair in her room on a quiet afternoon, she suddenly realized that God was there. And I knew somehow that God had been there all along. God not as the intellectual concept I had argued against, but a living presence. I went around in a daze for the rest of the day. There had been nothing dramatic about my experience, no vision, no voice of God. It was very quiet. Yet at the same time, I had a sense of vast change. And Avery Brooks' life was never the same again. For years, she had been a seeker without knowing what she was seeking. And now she knew. She found that God was there for her and with her. She went on to become a spiritual director who championed others in their spiritual journeys. So like Avery Brooke, we are all on a journey, hopefully to know God better, and to move more deeply into the heart of God. Wherever we are on the journey, whatever we believe or don't believe, the message of the Bible is that there is a God. The biblical story from beginning to end on every page is about a God who created us and loves us, a God who cares about us, wants to be in relationship with us, and desires our well-being. This is the covenant, the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Now, this hopeful passage in Jeremiah is spoken at a time when one would hardly expect such a definitive assurance of God's abiding presence. In the 6th century BCE, the people of Israel were in exile, held captive in Babylon. The exile was a great tragedy in Israel's life. People lost everything, their homes, land, nation, even the temple in Jerusalem. And it was during this time of suffering and despair that Jeremiah also wrote to them, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." And then Jeremiah goes on, "When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." On our own journeys, when the way is dark and we wonder if there is a God or where God is, we also need to hear that God is there and there is hope. God made this new covenant in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time that Pastor Freeman or I preside over the sacrament of Holy Communion, we say, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin." This new covenant is a gift to all of humanity. And through it, we not only receive God's forgiveness, but God wipes away memory of any past sins. We see the lengths to which God will go to write this law, this love, on our hearts. The light of God's love within us, God's Holy Spirit given to us in our baptisms. Through Jesus, we need not look further than our own hearts, where the Word of God has already been placed, no further than that to be set free, to live into the fullness of our humanity. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Our letter, which is written on our hearts, is known and read by everyone we encounter. The challenge for each of us is to be attentive to the word that dwells within us. And it's not easy in our busy, noisy world full of distractions to discover the peace and freedom that is ours through faith. Many of you know that I sing in the senior choir, mostly at the Minneapolis campus. And for me, having music back in my life has been just a huge blessing. When seeking new choir members, either at new member orientations or in talking with eighth graders about singing in the high school cathedral choir, Dr. Claflin always makes an interesting comment. She says, "We choir members get to know Scripture well in our hearts because we sing it. Musicians can hear music even when it is not playing, because it's in our hearts." I think the church does something like that when it worships, when it prays and sings, when it shares God's love. It helps people discover what they already have. To have faith and to be saved by it means hearing the music of God's love in our hearts. It means playing the tune that has already been placed into the deepest reaches of our very being, and finding in that music the freedom God longs for each of us to have, the freedom to be fully who we are and who God created us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.